Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, August 27th. Two ballot questions seeking to fund road improvement projects are heading to Colorado voters this November. As KUNC's Matt Bloom reports, the first one's title is actually less of a question and more of a demand.
If passed, the Fix Our Dam Roads Initiative would force the Colorado Department of Transportation to bond $3.5 billion in state funds next year. John Caldera with the Independence Institute is heading the effort. He says it would pay for a list of high-priority projects, like expanding North I-25.
We're getting closer to 6 million people in Colorado, and it's the same two lanes in each direction going up to Fort Collins. And we wonder why we're in a traffic jam. It's because we haven't made this core function of government a priority at the state legislature.
The Secretary of State's office verified that the effort had enough valid petition signatures this week. They are still reviewing a different ballot question that, if it qualifies, seeks to raise the state's sales tax by 21% to fund transportation projects. For KUNC, I'm Matt Bloom.
A second ballot question seeking to raise funding for transportation projects throughout Colorado will head to voters this November. The Secretary of State's office announced Thursday that Initiative 153 has qualified for the ballot. If passed, it would fund road improvements through a 0.62% sales tax increase, taking it from 2.9% to 3.52%. The measure is backed by a group of businesses and political leaders around the state, including the Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce. A separate transportation measure that will also be on the ballot would generate funding for road projects without a sales tax increase. The Colorado River watershed is careening toward its first ever official shortage declaration. Those who watch the river closely say it's tapped out. And yet a handful of big projects that would pull even more water from the stressed river are in the works. Some developers argue that on paper, parts of the river are experiencing surpluses. How can it be that the Colorado River watershed has too much water and not enough at the same time? Luke Runyon has the story.
So yeah, Luke, you can see
Aaron Million is a developer, and his name is synonymous with a water pipeline he's been pushing for almost a decade. He's sporting a cowboy hat and belt buckle when I meet him at a Fort Collins, Colorado coffee shop. He unfurls a map and points out the features of his latest proposal.
It's about a 3,800-foot drop, so we've got about...
With his finger, Million traces the route of his pipeline. It would start in Utah on the Green River, then snake across Wyoming before dropping down into Colorado's populated Front Range. Million says it would cost about $1 billion to build.
It's a bigger project, but they get done every day. I mean, we built a transcontinental railroad last I remember.
His plan takes advantage of a historical fluke. The 1922 Colorado River Compact, which divvies up the water, was written when the river was flowing at a record high. Now, though, for the past 18 years, high temperatures, drought, and overuse have sapped the river's flow.
People say there's no water left in the system. Well, when California has drained and Nevada and Arizona have drained the river and then cry foul because Lake Powell and Mead are low, again, I'll reiterate, had they not drained their, overtaken their share, they'd be full by 4 or 5x. Those are the facts. You can run the numbers.
This river is already reeling. It's nearly close to death from 1,000 cuts.
Nick Scow is conservation director with the Utah Rivers Council. The Salt Lake City-based environmental group is one of many filing protests against Million's pipeline proposal.
And these big new diversions could be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
For Scow, the idea that there's a surplus of water in the Colorado River watershed is laughable. He says the river's two main reservoirs are dropping, and the river itself hasn't reached the Pacific Ocean in years.
There's this disconnect between, you know, what water rights states are entitled to on paper via the Colorado River Compact and what water is actually in the system.
Let's break that down. What Scow is talking about is this concept of paper water. On these agreements among states, there's a certain amount of water that exists on paper. But that doesn't always match up with so-called wet water, or what exists in reality. Some states have met the limit of their paper water from the Colorado River. Others haven't. And there's a growing recognition that water managers should think of the watershed and manage it as a whole, rather than a disconnected series of tributaries.
The Colorado River system is at risk of crashing Lake Mead or crashing Lake Pelham.
That's Ann Castle. She's a former official with the Department of the Interior and now with the University of Colorado in Boulder.
Meaning that all the water gets used and the elevations drop so low that you can't force water through the system anymore.
Castle says Aaron Million's pipeline increases the chance of those reservoirs dipping even further. But he's not the only person or agency suggesting we take more water from the Colorado River and its tributaries. Two water agencies on Colorado's Front Range are finalizing projects that would do just that. So too would a proposed pipeline in southern Utah. When it comes to river politics, Castle says everyone's fates are intertwined. That argument doesn't sway Aaron Million, who says Western water law is on his side.
But people think that, you know, California, Nevada, and Arizona can stop this project, or that the governor in Wyoming can. That's just simply not true.
But water rights along the Colorado River are far from simple. So I asked Million what the odds are that his pipeline will ever be built. He says he doesn't believe in absolutes and gives himself a 92% chance of coming out on top. I'm Luke Runyon.
And finally today, the city of Montrose has a new assistant city manager. According to a press release, Anne Morgenthaler will join the city staff on September 10th. She comes to Montrose from Telluride, where she was the building and planning director. Born and raised in Colorado, Morgenthaler was also on the staff of the city of Ouray, where she is a resident. She has experience overseeing development activities, contributing to community efforts to increase affordable housing, preserving historic structures, and promoting vitality in the commercial sector. Over 110 people applied for the job, and applications came from all around the world. Three applicants were selected for interviews, and Morgenthaler emerged as the best candidate. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, August 27th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.